we are going to wind up digitizing Beethoven, right? And we digitize Beethoven by taking samples every so often. Very high frequencies. We'll talk about high frequency it is. But the thread that I now want to follow is how high does the sampling rate have to be in order to get a good digital representation for the sound that you're trying to record. You know, we've all got this sense that there's some general connection between the number of bits of representation for a music file or something like that and how good the sound quality is. So we're just trying to drill down on that a little bit. So let's take this sine wave now that's of some indeterminate, you know, period and frequency that you don't know anything about. You're going to build a device which has to sample at some frequency. When it's recorded, it's going to sample at some frequency, and on playback, it's going to reconstruct the sound using the samples at those frequencies. And you don't get to play with the frequency once the engineers have decided on it. And the question is, you know, what should that sampling frequency be? You can say, you know, as fast as you possibly can make it, but you know it at some level, if you sample too closely together, you're not really adding any information, and you're making your sound files enormous, right? So how frequent, you know, what should the frequency actually be? And there's an important principle here involved in this. It says, you know, you can reconstruct the sine wave, on the assumption it really is a sine wave, from samples if you take them frequently enough. And if you take them more frequently than that, you're not really adding anything because there's only one way that the sine wave could appear anyway. So here we go. Here I've drawn some periodic time intervals through the sine wave, and now I'm going to take the samples, right? So there's every place where one of these vertical bars crosses the sine wave, there's a point. Point, 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 up, one down there too, and so on and so forth, okay? So we're also going to have to digitize in the amplitude direction also, but we won't worry about that right now. We're just talking about where, let's assume we can get the y-axis represented very accurately. And we sample at a certain rate. Okay? Now, if this is what we've got on our CD or our MP3 player, can you get the sine wave back again? Well, you know, you can probably, if you look at this, you know, a reasonable expectation is to be, yeah, the wave goes up here and goes down there and through this one and back up again. If you just do the sort of connect the dots thing, you know, you'll get the sine wave back, and there's really only one possibility. Right? This is really the only sine wave that fits through that set of points in a reasonable way. At least it's the lowest frequency sine wave that fits through those points in a reasonable way. Okay, so now, if you undersample, as the phrase goes, if you use a too slow a sampling rate, then there can be some other lower frequency signal that fits through the points. And you get you would reconstruct a different signal than the one that you were trying to record. So let's take our example, same curve here, right? Same curve. But now let's sample it only that often. Right here, 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 here. So now we're only going to get four sample points. There they are. We throw away the curve. You know, there they are. And if you try to draw a sine wave through these four points, you know, the most reasonable thing to do would be to give you something like that, which is completely wrong. But it's a natural mistake to make if the sampling rate was too low. So the crucial, you know, theorem here, which is not too hard to reason through, is called the Nyquist sampling theorem, and it says that if you want to recover the signal accurately from the samples, then the rate at which you sample has to be more than twice as the frequency of the highest frequency component of the sound you're trying to record. Right, so we're going to assume this is just talk about sound for now. So the sampling rate has to be high enough to catch the high frequency components of the sound. You're not going to get any more detail in the sound than that. But as long as the sampling rate is at least twice the frequency, then you can, you can correctly recover what the original sound was supposed to be. Okay, so here's a 1 kilohertz wave. Let's call it that. Okay, and if you wanted to capture that accurately in a way that then you could reconstruct the sound, the 1 kilohertz sound or 1 kilohertz wave from the original, you have to sample it at a rate of at least 2 kilohertz, at least 2,000 times per second. Okay, and so this is called, when you fail that condition and you reconstruct something different than what it was that you thought you were recording, that's called aliasing. And it's a general term in computer science in lots of ways. An alias is some other signal, and signals are actually a very general notion here, that's got the same, which if you sampled it, would give you the same samples as the original. So here's our, let's say this one, this higher frequency wave, is the thing we were actually trying to record. We sampled it only here, 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 and here. We got these samples, and then you get this other lower frequency wave, which is an alias of the original given the sampling rate. So this is a general term for another original that could have given you the same set of samples once it's been digitized.